Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The texts for this morning are about healing, deep healing, gut-wrenching healing. As you heard, Jairus, a leader of the synagogue, comes to Jesus asking him to heal his daughter who was on the point of death. And Jesus goes with the man, but he's interrupted. He's stopped by a woman who had suffered from a hemorrhage for years, for 12 years. Can you imagine being weakened by blood loss for 12 years? Can you imagine dragging yourself around day after day after day, struggling with anemia for 12 years? And this woman didn't have just a physical problem, she had social and religious problems as well. You see, anyone who was leaking blood or had an open sore was considered to be unclean. They could not participate in worship life. And as long as one was leaking, one was considered to be cut off from God. Uncleanliness in Jesus' day was considered to be much more contagious than the common cold. To associate with anyone who was unclean made you unclean. Get any of that blood on you, and you too were cut off from the worship life of the community of faith. You too were cut off from God for a period of time. So in all probability, she's lived these 10 years in isolation, probably not going out in public very often. So this woman had to not only deal with the effects of her physical problem, she also had to deal with being cut off from the community. Cut off from worship, shunned by her family and friends, and in the understanding of that day, even shunned by God. And this has gone on for 12 years. And for her, there was no hope left. She had spent every penny of her money going from doctor to doctor, but none can help her. For 12 years, she's gone to doctor, and her condition was beyond current medical knowledge. For her, there is no hope left. She's living a living death. But then she sees Jesus, and she says, "If I but touch his clothes, I will be made well." And she reaches out, and she touches the hem of his cloth, and she's healed. Physically, socially, religiously, she's gotten her life given back to her. But the story continues. After all this commotion, because of the woman touching the hem of her cloth, Jesus has been delayed. And messengers arrive to say that that little girl is now dead. There is no use getting a healer anymore. She's dead. Now, in the Bible, there's only one other person who's ever raised a person from the dead, and that was that great prophet Elijah raises a little boy from the widow at Nain's son. He raises that little boy from the dead almost 1,000 years earlier. You know, I think there can be nothing worse than the death of a child. Not only is there a sadness of a life cut short before it's been fully lived, but it's an absolutely crushing blow to the parents. Statistically, most marriages that suffer the death of a child don't last more than 2 years. It is just too much pain for a marriage to bear. Peter and Nancy were our closest friends in seminary, and they were a clergy couple like Anne and myself, and we were in each other's weddings. And in our early days, we actually were placed in parishes on, as the crow flies, it was about 5 miles, but it was over a mountain. They lived on the other side of the mountain, so it took about 30 minutes to get there because you couldn't just go over the mountain like this. And we formed what we called the Blue Ridge Mountain Bridge Club. We gathered once a month to play bridge together. And then Peter and Nancy lost an infant child, Joel, at 18 months to SIDS. I must tell you, that was awful. I'm glad to say that their marriage survived, but it really shook their faith. Both of them left the ministry. It took about 7 years for Nancy to come back in the clergy role. It took Peter 15 years for him to come back. Peter and Nancy survived, and they're working as pastors again, but they're still changed people. It's a terrible, awful thing to bury a child. And I must say, the hardest thing that I do as a pastor is bury a child. And I must tell you, I've buried too many of them. So Jairus, the leader of the synagogue, because Jesus has been delayed, receives the words that he's been dreading. Your daughter has died. Why trouble the healer anymore? Jesus may be a wonderful healer, but bringing a child back to life is in the realm of the absolute impossible unless you were Elijah almost 1,000 years earlier. And like the woman, for Jairus, there is no hope left. So upon arriving at the house, Jesus says, "Why do you make a commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping." And the crowd laughs. They know the difference between sleep and death. So Jesus goes in the house. He takes the little girl by the hand and he says, "Talitha cum," which means little girl, like, get up. And the little girl sits up, walks around, and eats. This is no resuscitation of a corpse. That which has brought to the point of death has disappeared instantaneously. Not only was she alive, but she was absolutely, completely well. She's eating and she's walking around. So Jesus touches these three people. A woman who has experienced 12 years of illness and separation from family and friends and the worshiping community and even God. And he grants her not just healing, but new life. To a young girl whose life was cut too short, and a man who is experiencing the deepest pain a father could ever know, he again offers not just healing, but new life. You know, Jesus is the great healer. He is the one to heal infirmities. He is the one that has the power to heal relationships between family and friends. He is the one that has the power to bridge the divide of sin which separates us from God. He's the one who gives us the victory over death. And as I've said recently, over the years, I have seen that power to heal. Not often, but I've seen it. I've seen diseases disappear. I've seen relationships between family and friends healed through the giving power, forgiving power of Jesus. I've seen people's lives turned around and walking in newness of life. I've seen great sorrow turned into great joy. And I walk in the hope and the confidence of the resurrection. But I also know the greatest healing that God offers us is on the other side of death. Oftentimes, the power to defeat cancer or heart disease or Alzheimer's disease, that healing power rests in the kingdom to come rather than this one. You know, for many of us, Talitha Kum, little girl, I say, arise, is not spoken in this life, but they will be spoken in the life to come. So in all things I say, thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.